Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland this week for a Thanksgiving week special. Learn how you can experience a life worth living every day.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read several scriptures here talking about the ministry of Jesus. And gathering information, knowledge, teaching from the Holy Spirit in the Bible way of receiving through His ministry. Receiving through the ministry of Jesus. Now, first of all, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, begin reading with the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy or completely paralyze. Another translation says, totally incapacitate him that had the power or the authority of death, that is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, how many things? All things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or secure them that are tempted. Now then, let's look in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Now notice there in that chapter, he is referred to as a merciful and faithful high priest. But that chapter also highlights his ministry as Lord. He is Lord. He is also the merciful and faithful high priest. Praise God. We're going to look at both those ministries. Now, from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, let's read that just a bit different, which is really the way it should be read. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and has given him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus, the Anointed One, is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Now then, let's go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister. Say that. A minister. Say it again. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, let's go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Well, actually, let's go to the third chapter and the first two verses there, and then we'll go on over into the fourth. Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The same word means confession. Christ, or the anointed Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Now, in the fourth chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. For the word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight or in the sight of the word. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Hold fast to our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, because the word of God is more powerful, more alive than any two-edged sword, and seeing that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to move down here. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Now, we have read about two very different, very distinct ministries of the Lord Jesus. One, he is Lord. God has highly exalted him and given him his name, which is above every name that's named. See, that is a higher position than Adam had. Adam was immediately anointed as the highest authority in the earth. But now you remember when Jesus, just moments after he was raised from the dead, he said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Oh, God exalted him and gave him his name. And like I said in our morning session. Oh, how I would love to get in and just stay right there. Praise God, I could preach on that. I don't know how long I can preach on it. I never have exhausted it, so I don't know. But we know that the Apostle Paul was quoting the 45th chapter of Isaiah when he wrote that. Now, the word translated Lord in the English Old Testament, capital L, little capital O-R-D, is translation of the personal name of the Most High God. The word God is not even in the Old Testament. That is a catch-all translation that actually came on the scene through the early German translations. It was originally a German word, Gott. And it just literally means supreme being. Well, I mean, that could mean anything. And it was translation of several different words. But that personal name of God, even in the English Bible, was not translated God. It was translated Lord. In some cases, translated Jehovah. It's what's called the Tetragrammaton. And it is, in Hebrew, spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It was introduced to Moses. God introduced himself to the man. The highest name that any human being can have anything to do with. His own personal name. Now, this was the name in the old covenant that God made covenant with Israel and said, don't you ever use that name in vain. I give you permission to use my name, but don't you ever use it in vain. It's a very dangerous thing to do, to use that name in vain. You just don't want to be doing that. Now, they came to the place, they said, look, wow, we just ain't going to say it at all. So they jumped out of one ditch over in the other ditch. And actually, that was not a good thing because they lost the revelation of the power of that name. And it got religiousized. So here we are now. He gave him his name, which is above every name that is named. And in that second chapter of Philippians 9, he exalted him, gave him his name, which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow of things in, actually, beings in heaven, beings in the earth, and beings under the earth. Now, Adam had authority over all of the animal beings in the earth. But he did not have authority over other men. He had authority over everything that crawled, swam, creeped. He had authority over all that kingdom. But now here is Jesus. I mean, he's been given authority over all of it. And he's been given that name that is above every name. See, he inherited it. His Father gave it to him. Amen. Who had just, like I said, I could just spend a lot of time here. Yeah. I wish we had time to do that, but that's not our purpose in this teaching. But it's very important for you to get this because this is incorporated in his lordship ministry. Amen. Now, that name, see, has been given to us. Oh, yeah. That name, the very personal name of God, is incorporated in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, yes. Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we've been given full authority to use that name in the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And come boldly to the throne of grace. Whoa! Hallelujah. And partake of His Lordship ministry. We have full authority to wear His complete armor. And should wear it. Wear it boldly. Now, here's one thing I want you to see and understand. Because without this, we can't go any further. God created Adam, and immediately the first sound that Adam ever heard was his own commission as Lord over this earth. He created him, and He commissioned him right on the spot. This man never knew 1 minute. Not 1 minute on this earth did God leave him unarmed, uncommissioned. So I'm bringing this up because you need to remember, God never changes. Huh? What's the use of Him changing? He is right the first time. Amen. So when you learn His way of doing things, then you know what to expect. Because He never changes. Amen. And everything He's ever done was to make life better for you. You didn't hear what I said. I said everything He's ever done was to make life better for you. So now, His way of doing things was to create and delegate. Create and delegate. Create and then delegate His own authority over the creation to the created. That's His way. So, what happened then when Jesus was raised from the dead? God immediately delegated the authority to Him, both in heaven and in earth. So Jesus is, like we say in Texas, Jesus is the spitting image of His Father. If you've seen one of them, you've seen the other one. Now I learned from Happy Caldwell down in Little Rock, Arkansas, that phrase, spitting image, actually originated from a phrase that was spirit and image. Now, I don't know how in Texas it got turned into spit, but anyway. Seems like we've done a lot of things like that over the years. He is exactly His Father. Now, He follows exactly His Father's same processes. Now, we need to be following Jesus' same processes. The first thing that Jesus did, all authority was given unto Him, both in heaven and in earth. And the first thing He did with that authority was delegate authority over the earth to the body of Christ. Very first thing He did. All authority had been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go into all the earth. You preach the gospel to every creature. You lay hands on the sick. They will recover. You take my name and cast out the devil. He delegated that authority. Now, He delegated His lordship ministry. But that's not all. He also delegated His high priestly ministry. Turn over to the book of Revelation. And notice in the hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, okay. Notice in the first chapter, first of all, Well, let's read down into this. Verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. You notice he's no longer called the only begotten Son of God. When he came into the earth, he was the only begotten Son of God. But when he's raised from the dead, he became the firstborn of many brethren. The firstborn of many joint heirs.
Hallelujah.
Now, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So now, there's both ministries. There's the Lordship of Jesus ministry, and there's also the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We have been made unto God kings and priests with his authority. Hallelujah.
He's given me the blood, and he's given me the power to bind and loose. Everything that he's given me gives me the power over the enemy so that he can establish his kingdom in the earth.
You know, when you realize that you have authority, you know, keys represent authority. And when I got my first set of car keys, I was like, woohoo! And then now that you realize you have authority in the kingdom of God, and you can operate and you can advance his kingdom, and that's mind-boggling.
Man, this is one of the first things, one of the very first things that I found out from the Word of God over 40 years ago, and it still just wires me up, I'm telling you. This is so thrilling. Most of all the religious world, and most of the body of Christ has the idea that Jesus came here and did what he did, all right. But then when he left, he just left it all, but he did not. He delegated lordship ministry. He delegated his high priestly ministry to the body of Christ. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. And the Word of God says he's made us kings and priests. Well, here I go again. Praise God. I don't care. I can't help it. Amen. This is the very life of the body of Christ in this earth. And I'll tell you right now, Satan has no defense for it. Praise God.
A heritage of faith. God has promised it to all of us. Over 40 years ago, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland set out on a journey of faith in God's Word. Today, their children and grandchildren have become living proof that God still honors the prayers and faith of parents and ancestors. The 2008 Heritage of Faith Calendar. Stay up to date on KCM meetings and events throughout the year, and be encouraged each month as you see the faithfulness of God to Kenneth and Gloria through their children and grandchildren. With different uplifting scriptures and quotes from the Copelands each month, this calendar is a great tool to help keep you on track all year long. 2008 is going to be a great year, so believe with us and receive every precious gift that God has for you. Expect new levels of God's goodness and discover the heritage of faith that is in store for you and your family. Be sure to order your copy of the 2008 KCM Heritage of Faith Calendar. To order online, visit us at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call us at 888-326-0011 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Request your free calendar today and celebrate each month of 2008 with exciting teaching quotes, faith-building scriptures, and a head start on important meeting dates.
I got something I want to send you. This is the new calendar. Praise God. The Heritage of Faith is what we set out to give our family over 40 years ago, and God set us on the journey. And we've stayed with him in his word. Praise God. This, you're going to really enjoy this calendar. I think it's the best that we've ever done by far. There are just some really great pictures in here about our family and our lives and just things that we want to share with you. And you can always remember, my family can be like this. It's the Word of God that did it. I want you to look at this picture here. Now, isn't Gloria just absolutely beautiful in that picture? Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. She and I are still, we've been married almost 46 years now, and we're still on a honeymoon. I'm telling you, it's getting better and stronger every day. Call and let me know. I'll send it to you. Father, we thank you. I pray for this radio and television audience all over the world. God bless them. My partners, oh my. Thank you for them. In the name of Jesus. Now take hold of the Word of God and don't let the devil take it away from you. Next year is going to be here before you know it. And you need to start making plans right now to get into meetings. Let me tell you what you do. What we used to do a long time ago, only you got it made now. You can go to kcm.org. You can find our meetings on there. And then you can print that out and say, I'm going to be in that meeting in the name of Jesus. And God will work it out for you. We'll see you next time. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Remember, you can watch the Believer's Voice of Victory online. Just select the webcast of your choice and study the Word of God at your convenience 24 hours a day. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing of God is for you. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry in 2007, we pray for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through His open door of the blessing this year.
Brother Copeland really helped us, and Gloria has helped us to feel very encouraged in our faith because we found out we are somebody. We know who we are in Christ now.
It raises your expectancy because you just know when you're all in one accord, God's here and there's going to be something awesome that's going to happen.
So like Brother Copeland, the message that he has is, it's for now. It's not just what's going to happen, but it's what God is doing today.
You can be set free from bondages, addictions, and it's just a good place to come and get to know the Lord.
Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word at the new location for Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information on this or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
There wasn't no reason for him to go through all that. He didn't do that for himself. He already had authority over them. He did it for us.